Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto. I'm here with my co-host, business partner, and wife, Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
I'm great. You know, it's been raining here for the last couple of days. And in just a little while, I think that we should share our little adventure that we had playing hooky this last week.
That sounds like a good idea. But before we get into that, I want to let everybody know what we're talking about today. This is more of a dog law type show. We're talking about two very important cases that just came down here in the last couple of weeks here, not only in Colorado, but also nationwide. Michelle is going to talk about a United States Supreme Court case, United States versus Stevens, and it regards animal cruelty, the First Amendment, and what people should and should not be allowed to do with the expression of their rights. And I am going to be talking about domestic violence protection orders and their pets. But before we get into that, let's talk about our upcoming news and events. Michelle, next Saturday we will be at the Furry Scurry.
Yes, the Denver Dumb Friends League puts on the Furry Scurry every year. It's held in Washington Park. This year it's celebrating its 100th year. I'm thinking that Denver Dumb Friends League has been around for 100 years, but the Furry Scurry has not been going on for that many years. But we encourage you to come out, support this local rescue, and help them take care of the pets that cannot be helped any longer. Their goal this year is $1 million, and according to their website, they're 39% of the way there. They have achieved $387,000 in contributions, so that's great. If you've never come out and done the Furry Scurry before, it's a lot of fun. You do not have to have a pet to participate. And, you know, if you do have a pet and you would like to participate with them, that's fantastic. If you are an organization that would like to participate in some community volunteering, this is a great way to start. It's a small one-weekend, one-day event that can get you some camaraderie going in your company.
The first year we participated in the Furry Scurry, we did a corporate team for Denver Dog Works, and we had several people take part in that, and it was a lot of fun. I think we raised $400 or $500 that weekend for the Denver Dumb Friends League with our team.
Yes, we did, and we haven't had one since, but that's just due to lack of us being organized and getting that done. And our team, everybody can just be imagining, our team of corporate sponsors that were with us wasn't our employees, because we don't have any. It was actually our clients. Our clients joined our team.
That's right, and every year since then, we've had a booth at the Furry Scurry, and last week we promoted the Dog Doctor Radio Show on the air live at the Furry Scurry. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that this year. We're still having real issues with Skype and GarageBand. Last year we were using a Dell-based system, and I had to foolishly go out and buy a Mac, and it does not work well with Skype, Blog Talk Radio, and GarageBand.
Right, but it is a good product on its own. It's just that Blog Talk Radio hasn't caught up to the Mac users yet.
I don't know exactly what it is, whether it's one of the three or a combination of, but we will have a booth there.
It could just be lack of experience on our part.
We will have a booth there at the Furry Scurry, so come on, stop by, and visit us at Denver Dog Works. We're always out there at what they call the flea market.
That's right. And, you know, this year, if you stop on by and we are doing the show, it might not be live. It probably will be recorded, but stop on by and give us one of your little three-minute stories about how you got to be with your dog.
On the 30th of May, we're going to be at the Max Fun Shelter Lucky Mutt Strut. This is an event that they usually hold at the end of the summer, but this year they're going to hold it in May, and it will also be at Washington Park in Denver, and we're looking forward to having a booth there and possibly even broadcasting the Dog Doctor Radio Show from there if we can get this technology figured out.
Hey, that sounds like a plan.
In July, we're going to be at the Donor Dash. I know that you're interested in doing that. Can you tell people a little bit about that one?
Well, for the we've done that for 3 years in a row, and the last 2 years in a row, our son Tyler and I and our son Kyle and I have been the ones that go and do that because our daughter has been stuck at softball games, and that seems to always be your duty. But last year, Tyler and I did it. There wasn't that big of a turnout as there was the year before, which was a little disappointing for everybody involved. But our son Kyle is a donor. When he got his permit for driving, he chose to do that partly because of what he learned at the Donor Alliance Donor Dash.
Donor for what? What does that mean?
He will donate his organs, tissue, and eyes when he dies.
So, yes, you can become a donor here in Colorado just by very simply signing up online or when you renew for your driver's license. And the nice thing about the Donor Dash is it celebrates the life of people that have received organs and other things from very generous people, as well as education for people about organ and tissue donation.
Right, and a lot of you may be thinking, well, why is a dog company involved with this non-dog related organization? Actually, we got involved with the Donor Dash through one of our clients because they wanted to get some of the people that participate in the Donor Dash aware that your pet can donate life.
Yes, we had a very interesting show on about a year ago. I guess it was the weekend of the Donor Dash. We broadcasted a show about blood donation for your pets. And if you're interested in listening to that show, just go to dogdoctorradio.com and go into the archives and pull up blood donation for pets. Michelle did an excellent interview with Rocky Mountain Blood Services, I believe was the name of it.
It is, and it's not just blood. On that show, it also discusses how your dog can be a tissue donor as well as an organ donor, which is something that the UC Davis facility in California is doing more and more studies on kidney transplants and things of that nature. There aren't very many places that do it yet, but as we go along in our leaps of science and medicine, I am sure that more and more pets will be able to help donate life as well.
So we're going to be there in July. Also in July, if everything goes well with the city of Littleton, and I guess that's Jefferson County that puts on that, Foothills Recreation District, they do the fireworks display and event,
Red, White, and You.
Red, White, and You Festival at Clement Park here in Denver metro area. And in September, the Somerset Festival, as we always do, to celebrate the end of summer and start into the busy fall and winter season in our industry.
Right, and the Somerset Festival, if you live in this area and you've never been, it's kind of a mini taste of Colorado. It's more focused on arts and crafts and things like that, but they do designate an entire morning to dog events, and that's partly because of our company as well as about a handful of others where we just said, you know, don't just invite us out. Let us do some demoing, and the demoing has turned into a Frisbee dog event, some agility events, and a couple of other dog-related events that are a lot of fun for people to come out and watch.
Yeah, the Somerset Festival is actually a three-day festival, Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday, and the dog events are held on Sunday, separate from all of the arts and crafts in a different area of the park. Clement Park is a very large city park there in Littleton, and we all set up our booth there and do those demonstrations that Michelle was talking about.
Right, and typically we are only there on Sunday, but I'm hoping that we do get to go on all 3 days this year because we always miss out on the car show on Saturday.
Yeah, if you're interested in fancy old cars, that's one of the best shows in Denver to check those out. So we're looking forward to seeing all of you guys there at the end of the summer for the Somerset Festival. And one last festival that we always take part in, it's actually the weekend before the Somerset Festival, is the Parker Barker Days, which is what, Michelle?
It is an event in Parker when they close the pool at the main town center swimming pool, and your dog gets to come out and go swimming and have a good time. It is a lot of fun. Again, it's a lot of vendors. You know, it benefits the local city Humane Society there for the dogs. But really, it's just a way to get out there and have a good time and get your dog in the pool. And, you know, last year when we went, they ran it a little bit different than the year before, which was our first year. They just kind of opened the gates out onto the baseball field where they had all the vendors, and it was really, really like opening the floodgates on one of those movies where you see just all these dogs running out of the water and jumping over our tables and onto our radio equipment. It was a crazy sight. I mean, one of our trainers at the time, she caught two dogs midair so that they wouldn't land on our radio equipment, and I still got to give her props for that because she really could catch them.
We also broadcast live from there, and you can also listen to that show in our archives at dogdoctorradio.com.
Absolutely. And you know, just another thing, if you, Parker's not that far away, and I would like to say that in the summer they have this awesome farmer's market up and down the streets on both sides of Parker Road that is a lot of fun. It is dog-friendly, and if you've never been down to Parker, you should go down and check it out. Another thing that we did down in Parker last summer was we saw the movie in the park, and that was a lot of fun, too.
That's also a dog-friendly event. So if you are in Denver and you're looking for things to do with your dogs, there's always tons and tons of things to do in one of America's top cities for dogs, Denver, Colorado, and its surrounding areas. So, Michelle, tell people a little bit about our hookie experience yesterday at the zoo.
Oh, I thought you were ready to get into the serious dog law stuff. Hookie, let's see. Is that even allowed anymore? So yesterday, after a couple of weeks of some really stressful weeks with work, and you know, we've had a few aggressive dogs that you've had to deal with, and we were both just feeling stressed out and worn out, I said, you know what, let's go. We're going to the zoo. I did what we were supposed to do that morning with the camp dogs, took them to the park, walked them, trained them, and then I dragged you out to the zoo, a place that you have not been here in Denver, which I thought was kind of odd. So we go to the zoo, the skies opened up, it was beautiful, about 65 degrees, sunny, no wind, and that should have been my first indicator. It was a little too calm and it was a little too nice after a storm. And we're going around, and we've only been there for about an hour, maybe 2 hours, and we end up at the last few exhibits where the pachyderms are, and we start heading out, going to go to the gift shop, grab an ice cream cone, and leave. And this lady with this walkie-talkie says, are you leaving? And we thought, okay, yeah, we're leaving. We're going to the gift shop first. Is that all right? And she said, no, actually, it's not. We're under a tornado warning. You have to get in a building. And I just remember your face, what? A tornado warning? We're being sequestered into buildings at the Denver Zoo, which is downtown Denver. You immediately get on your weather alert on your iPhone, and you discover that the tornado sighting had actually touched down about 13 miles south of where we were at the zoo. Well, lo and behold, later that afternoon, I find out from my kids that it was actually sighted at the park next to their school, which was pretty extraordinary. So the tornado touched down in the park next to their school, caused no damage.
I don't think it touched down. I think that there was a sighting, because if it touches down, that's major news.
Well, what they were told by the school officials was that it touched down, which I'm sure is wrong, too, because I lived in Oklahoma long enough to know if it touches down, it's spinning right where it's at. So I believe that they had a funnel cloud that they sighted. You know, that's where it just comes out a little bit. And then it went back up into the system and then re-landed out on the plane somewhere. But thankfully, nobody was hurt. It was just quite an adventure. You know, nobody knows that you snuck out to the zoo, and then you get caught and you get busted because there was a natural disaster on our midst.
So tell our listeners about talking to the primate.
Yes, our dear canine behaviorist decided to play a few games with one of the male primates in one of the exhibits. And it was a baboon-like one, and I forget the exact name of it because, you know, I was having more fun watching this fiasco unfold in front of us. He decides to make these noises at this one particular male monkey who had sat really close to the fence. And understand, this male monkey is about the size of, a medium-sized dog. He wasn't that big. And Robert continues to make these noises, and, you know, this monkey gets very stimulated, gyrating back and forth, spins around. You could definitely tell he was posturing. So we were in for quite a treat as behaviorists. Oh, my goodness, look at this. He's posturing. What else is he going to do? His hackles were up a little bit. He spun around. He stuck his tongue out, and then he proceeded to yawn in a fashion where he was able to show all of his teeth. He never once growled, hooted, or made any sort of noises in a threatening manner. He then proceeded to walk along the fence back and forth, and then he chose to go on this stump. You know, bared his butt in your face, and I said to you, if he poops, it's going to come flying out at you, and I'm running the other direction. Luckily, he did not defecate on us, but he was definitely giving you the finger with his behind in your face. And then he proceeded to turn around and sit down and you know, do his little bouncing up and down like he got one up on you.
So I guess I should have gone into to primate studies instead of canine studies, because it was nice because we were the only ones there. It's very it was a very secluded place, and we were able to really get up close to the animals. And that what is nice about the Denver Zoo, like Michelle said, I have never been there, but it's laid out very nicely where you can really get up pretty close to some of the pens, especially in the primate area.
The habitats,
and you could get up pretty close, and I thought that was nice. You know, when you go to a lot of zoos, everything's behind glass or behind barriers, and the Denver Zoo is really nice. So, again, if you are in Denver or planning on traveling to Denver, make sure you check out the Denver Zoo. It's only $12 to get in, and we spent just a couple of hours there and had a blast.
Yeah, you know, and we also got a kick out of the female gorilla who crawled all over to the fence and was eating the pieces of the seedlings from the tree through the fence and off of the fence, and she was just having herself a good time eating those. I mean, I said, how in the world can she eat those? And you said she likes them. They must taste good to her. You know, it was just a lot of fun. We also saw a lot of kids with a lot of daycare providers and or teachers. And I was disappointed as a former Girl Scout leader who took my girls to the zoo a lot. We used to go and we would focus on one species of animals, such as the pachyderms. We would go and we would just learn about the elephants and the rhinoceros and the hippopotamus and the tapirs and things like that. But they were just being sequestered from exhibit to exhibit as fast as we can. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. They weren't letting the natural curiosity blossom. Maybe you only go and maybe you only go see one animal. Who cares? You know, and that's what I was kind of upset about that.
So, yes, we did have a great time at the zoo. And of course, this is not a zoo show, but we do like to talk about things that's going on throughout the city and how we are involved in different things in the city, whether it's just a quick trip to the zoo or other events that we take part in. But before we get into our topics of the day, we're going to take a real quick break, and Michelle is going to talk a little bit about our dog training our school before we come back and introduce you to our first topic of the day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, brought to you by Twine Group Media, as well as DogWorks Training Centers, LLC. If you're interested in becoming the world's best dog trainer, give us a call or send us an email at denverdogworks.com or 303-578-9881. We have the best and train the rest.
And we are back. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media. We are on the air every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time. And if you want to listen to our show every week, just make sure you hit that favorite button on Blog Talk Radio. We're at blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. Or you can go to iTunes as well and type in Dog Works in the podcast search bar, and you can download all of our archived episodes. If you're interested in more information about our dog training, just make sure you type in Denver Dog Works in Google, and our website will pop up all over the place. Now we're going to get into Michelle's first topic of the day, and it's entitled Freedom of Expression.
Yes, as Robert mentioned, we are discussing a lot of dog law today, and my topic is called Freedom of Expression. It's a little blog I wrote about the United States Supreme Court ruling on Tuesday, April 20th. Tuesday, April 20th, 2010, the United States Supreme Court rules animal cruelty video law unconstitutional. United States versus Stevens, 559 U.S. 08-769 2010 is the actual statute that you can look up to read the full decision in length, which ruled that the 18 U.S.C. Section 48, a federal statute criminalizing the commercial production, sale, or possession of depictions of cruelty to animals, was an unconstitutional abridgment of the First Amendment right to freedom of speech. In 2004, Mr. Stevens was indicted for creating and selling three videotapes showing pit bulls engaged in dogfighting. Stevens filed a motion to dismiss the indictment, arguing that the federal statute abridged his right to freedom of speech under the First Amendment. The district court denied his motion in 2004. In 2005, Stevens was convicted by a jury after a deliberation of 45 minutes. Stevens appealed, and the Third Circuit vacated his conviction, holding that 18 U.S.C. 48 violated the First Amendment. The court stated that dogfighting or the use of dogs to hunt dogs may be made illegal to protect animals from cruelty. However, the court ruled that the law in question prohibiting the depiction of animal cruelty violates the First Amendment, as it would create a new category of speech not protected by the free speech provision of the amendment. So, Robert, what do you think that that means?
It means that right now the court does not want to be involved in segregating expression under the First Amendment.
Right. So it was found basically that you can videotape whatever you like to do with your pet. And that's basically based on the fact of where I'm going to continue. We at Denver Dog Works, the Dog Doctor Radio Show, Antoine Group, do not, we are utterly against any harmful, cruel acts made upon any animal. I want to get that out there to everybody. We are against this. I am writing this opinion because animals are considered property, livestock. I believe the laws need to change and be applied to the 21st century. As a society, we no longer view our pets as livestock or property. We view them as being members of our family. So in those words, being viewed as members of our family, having someone do cruel acts to animals on a videotape or anywhere for that matter can be constituted as equal as the same as lewd or cruel acts upon children.
But again, the Supreme Court does not want to delineate one type of expression over another, whether it is animals or other types of protected speech.
That's right, and that's why I think that it needs to change. Until our pets' identities and are refined, a person wanting to film a crush video has every right to do so under the First Amendment of the Constitution. With all of the laws and governmental restrictions being placed onto us now, do we really need to be told how to treat animals? Can't we figure out on our own that if someone harms a defenseless animal that they should face criminal charges? Obviously, crush videos being out of the sickest of our society, crushing kittens and puppies with stilettos is not a form of expression, nor is it freedom of speech. It's outright appalling.
What I found interesting that all justices voted to affirm this ruling under the First Amendment, except for one, Judge Alito. And the reason that he had said that he was going to go against the grain is he's a dog owner.
That's right. But, you know, I don't think that the justices themselves believe that you should be cruel to an animal. I don't think that they think that the crush videos are a legitimate freedom of speech. What they're saying is that they cannot change what the First Amendment right to freedom is. The right of freedom of speech is just that, and there's nothing in there that has to do with being cruel to an animal on a videotape.
That's true, but again, I think in my opinion, I think the Supreme Court did well on this one.
I do too.
And again, we're dog owners, and we do not condone the acts of these people, both Mr. Stevens and the other folks that are doing this type of thing on the internet. But once you start messing around with free speech and the arguments thereof, it's just going to turn into more governmental control in regards to what we can and cannot do in terms of expression. Now, again, this is an appalling act that these guys are doing with their animals, but if we start sequestering or start inhibiting what people can and cannot do under the guise of free speech or not, that's when we're going to draw the line in regards to what we're allowed to do as a free society.
Well, and that's why my blog is titled Freedom of Expression, because basically, even though we are completely against any cruel act to an animal, because we are in this industry, altering this right of freedom of speech ultimately harms us. We would no longer be able to freely speak about our dog training business or have the Dog Doctor radio show with its varying opinions and cute little stories and all of that, because somebody might be offended.
Yeah, and in the media of today's world, we don't want any censorship. When you have censorship, you have totalitarian socialism, and that's not what we want.
No, that's not, and you know, I don't want to turn this into a political, but that's what we're becoming.
So we would love to have your comments and concerns about this. Send us an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com. That is live@dogdoctorradio.com. We're looking for any comments, criticisms, or concerns. And if you have some, please say them, and we will make sure that we post them online.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of our fans know that we did do a lot of shows about Michael Vick and his dogfighting convictions and things. And, again, you know, why was he convicted and this guy wasn't? He wasn't upholding his right to freedom of speech. This guy was saying that he merely videotaped these acts, and it was a way for him to express himself.
So, again, let's hear what you guys have to say. We have a lot of listeners out there, and let's start the debate and see how it goes. So, Michelle, anything else on this freedom of expression article?
Yeah, I hope that those of you that really think that should not be your freedom of speech, your right to expose and show these things anywhere on the Internet or anywhere else for that matter, then get out there and do your part and change the law.
There you go. So we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to talk again about pets as property and as part of the family with the new law that was just recently passed by Colorado Governor Bill Ritter. We'll be right back.
Team Maneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Maneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teammaneke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you Huskies? Gee-haw!
And we are back. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media. You can hear us live syndicated on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. I am here with my co-host, partner, and wife, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. And we're about, three-quarters of the way through our show, and it's going to get really involved in dog law. We just spoke about the United States Supreme Court upholding the right to freedom of speech. Now we're going to discuss a new law that has been enacted by Governor Bill Ritter, who is about ready to be on his way out the door. And, you know, he's really passing a lot of laws these last few weeks.
You know, as a lame duck governor, what else does he have to lose? But this is actually a champion law in regards to pets and families. And Michelle was just talking about pets as property. And this new law signed into law on April 12th, which protects animals in domestic violence cases, human domestic violence cases, really treats the dog as a member of the family, does it not?
Yes, it does, and it also gives recognition, finally, by our state that pets are not being considered as property or livestock. This is really a movement in the right direction based on what I just talked to you guys about. If you cannot view your pet as a piece of property or livestock, it becomes a whole new ballgame.
you know, we're going to get into that in just a second, especially some of the comments that came out of the state of Minnesota on the Star Tribune website. Those guys really threw in the towel when they started talking about when this was passed up in Minnesota just a couple of weeks ago. But let's talk a little bit about this protection order and pets. Michelle, what are some of the facts in regards to domestic violence in regards to pets?
Well, some of the facts are 7 of every 10 families with minor children include a pet. That's more than 64 million households in total. Research shows that pet abuse is a predictor of domestic violence. Paying attention to pet abuse can save human lives. Studies show that up to 71% of battered women report their pet was threatened, harmed, or killed by their partner. A national survey found that 85% of women's shelters indicated that women seeking safety described incidents of pet abuse in their families. Let me repeat those. 71% of battered women report their pet was threatened, harmed, or killed by their partners, and 85% of women's shelters indicated that women seeking safety described incidents of pet abuse in their families. That's huge, you guys. That is absolutely huge. Batterers threaten, abuse, or kill animals to demonstrate and confirm power and control over the family, to isolate the victim and children, and to prevent the victim from leaving or coerce them to return. Domestic violence shelters and animal protection organizations have begun partnering to develop safe havens for pets of domestic violence victims because many victims delay leaving out of fear for their pet's safety. All too often, batterers punish victims for leaving by killing their pet. Yet, with the help of over 100 safe haven programs currently operating today in the U.S., many victims no longer have to choose between their safety and their pet.
And this is a big deal, especially here in Colorado with Bill Ritter's signing of this law. Only 4 states, as of the time that I was researching this, had a law of similar effect, and that was Maine, Minnesota, New York, and Vermont. And then, of course, the 5th one now being Colorado, have enacted laws permitting families, pets, to be included in protective orders involving cases of domestic violence and abuse. An additional 11 states, California, Connecticut, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, and the District of Columbia have considered pet protection legislation. Now, this is important because in most municipalities and other types of state government, judges are allowed to have leeway on whether they're going to include or disinclude pets in protective orders, but by enacting a law such as what is done in Colorado and these other states, it is requiring judges to include pets in these types of protective orders.
You know, that's right. And it's also another thing that's going on when we have people that are getting separated or divorced, they're sharing custody of the pets. As we've spoke about in past shows, you know, with Pet Airways, one of their best clients here in Denver flies back and forth to San Diego every other weekend to be with his other owner. So the identity of the pet as property and livestock is changing.
It is. And, Michelle, can you read the quote from the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, please?
Sure. This quote is by Wayne Pacelle, and I'm sorry if I pronounce his name incorrectly. It's spelled P-A-C-E-L-L-E. The bond between people and their pets is so powerful that people would rather stay in an abusive situation if it means protecting their animal. A pet is sometimes the only positive and unconditional relationship that a victim might have, and that means they will do absolutely anything to keep them safe. We want the law to recognize the deep significance of that relationship and acknowledge that for most people, a pet is part of the family and therefore a victim and a pawn in this horrendous cycle of domestic violence. You know, and that's a powerful statement. And while I was reading that, it just brings to mind all of our psychiatric and post-traumatic service dog clients out there that can become victimized. And it just makes me wonder, my God, have any of these people that are our clients, not only our clients, but other companies' clients, ever been in a situation where they felt like they had to put their own safety before their dogs?
That is true. And then as we were talking about in some of the relevant facts in regarding to this case, a lot of women in particular in domestic violence are afraid to leave their abuser because of their pets. And they have set up these quote-unquote safe havens. And we were just talking a little bit ago about the great work of the Denver Dumb Friends League here in Denver, and they offer a temporary assistance to these victims by housing their pets at their facility while they escape from this trauma of domestic abuse.
You know, and that's another, and I hate to be a salesman about it, but that's another good reason to get out there and support your local animal shelters wherever you are. And, you know, if they don't have this sort of program, any safe haven programs in your area, get involved. Make one happen. This is necessary, unfortunately. You know, we can't provide every woman out there with a protection dog like we have our daughter, but, you know, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
So with these safe havens, some municipalities have also included foster families that will take in dogs while these abused victims remove themselves from the situation and seek solace at a shelter. They're allowing foster people to take care of their animals to stop this form of abuse towards animals and people in domestic violence.
Right, and by making sure that the pet is safe, it helps that person that's being abused really feel at ease so that they can move on and get themselves healthy and better again. I do also know that there are more and more shelters in large cities for homeless people that are also considering taking in their pets, and if they can't, there's also programs involved in the humane societies and places like the Denver Dumb Friends League that will temporarily house your pet while you are suffering homelessness.
There you go. So some of the comments that I was reading really brought some things to my attention, and I'm just going to fire some of these off to Michelle and see what her opinions are. Kind of the overriding opinion on the Star Tribune website in Minneapolis. Minneapolis just enacted this Minnesota just enacted this law on March 29th, so just about 2 weeks earlier from Colorado, and some of the comments were just off the charts. Probably the most prevalent comment was, why do we allow government to jump in to every little thing that takes part in our lives, such as bringing up orders and requirements that they have to include pets and these types of things?
Well, my opinion on that is because of, unfortunately, Columbine. Here in Colorado, when the unfortunate act of Columbine happened, actually just this week, 10 years ago, that changed how every school here in Colorado and the entire state handled bullying and acts of bullying. And, you know, I think that we are a nation of wimps. We're not able to stand on our own. We don't stand up for what we believe. We walk around with our hands in our pocket and our heads down saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And, you know, we're answering to the government as being the big man that is the only thing that should be making a decision for us. What happened to us standing up for our own rights? Now, at the same time, I believe that the pets can't stand up for their own rights.
I'm talking about the women. Predominantly, the people that are seeking protection orders are women. You would agree or disagree?
I would agree, but I also know, being from California that, and from here in Colorado, that if a domestic violence call is called in, it doesn't matter who makes the call. It could be your neighbor. It could be yourself, you being the one that's being beaten. Both people go to jail. The cops no longer decide who was at fault. You both go to jail. Both face anger management classes.
So the question is why should we allow our governments to say what is included in these orders? And we're talking about pets, but why should we allow the government to say or not have any leeway in what is in or out of these protection orders?
You know, I think it goes back to what I was saying. We no longer stand up for ourselves. We want the government to tell us what to do. We have really, really gone backwards in time instead of forwards in time as far as being able to manage our own government and what they do for us versus what we will be told to do by them.
So the next question or comment is a lot of times violence towards animals leads to further violence towards people, and much study has been on this. And what do you think about that, Michelle?
Well, I think that violence towards animals is a great indicator of violence towards people. It's been shown over, you know, time and time again. If a child kills a squirrel, he can grow to killing the neighbor's cat. Then maybe he abuses his own dog, and then he's beating up kids at school till eventually something very bad happens.
Such as?
Well, you know, what brings to mind is Rob Zombie's version of Halloween. That pretty much nailed it right there. That child portrayed in his version of the John Carpenter Halloween movies showed that the child had something wrong with him psychologically. He was abusing pets. He had been abusing them for a long time. The school found out about it. They tried to help him, and by then it was already too late because while his mother is in the office getting told that he kills little animals, he's out on the playground on the way home from school knocking some kid's head in with a tree limb.
So you think that that is a precursor towards violence if people are violent towards animals and or pets?
Absolutely, I think it is.
So what do you think about the way that people are commenting around this type of issue, saying that the government should leave us alone and let them be as they be, so they say?
I think that this is just another pebble being dropped in the water. Right now, it's just adding to it because with the health care bill and, you know, the government bailouts, the society is not ready or happy with one more law being done in our favor. You know, it's like the seatbelt law here in Colorado. We are forced to wear seatbelts, and yet we don't have helmet laws for the guys that ride motorcycles. Not really sure, you know, doesn't make any sense to me why I'm forced to wear a seatbelt in my van, but the guy next to me on his motorcycle doesn't have to wear a helmet.
So a lot of comments came about by saying that why do the again, it's mostly women that file these orders, why do the women stay in regards for the pet? Why don't they just pack up their stuff and get out of there?
Well, that's a man's version of that. If you're a victim, unfortunately, and you're a woman, you've probably been victimized your entire life. And the only thing that's ever given you love and shown you unconditional love, you know, you're sitting there with a black eye and a bloody nose and a fat lip, and the dog still licks your face because he loves you, you're not going to leave that animal. Because that's all you have. It goes the same way. That woman is going to do whatever it takes to protect her child the same way. I don't think that men can truly grasp this, why women get in this position in the first place. It's not necessarily because we are weaker. It is necessarily because we care more and we're more easily victimized, which I know I'm going to get backlash from that, but I have experienced abuse myself, and what was my last straw was that my son was thrown across the room. That was my last straw. I had pets. I had kids, but I will tell you that my kids come before my pets.
So, Michelle, are you for or against this measure signed by Bill Ritter?
You know, if I was in this position as a woman and I had to sit there in front of the judge and ask for a protective order and I was concerned about my family pet, I don't think I need a judge to tell me that I need him to protect my pet. Because if it's already at that point, then the judge better be protecting myself and my children because I'm obviously not able to. And if I'm not able to protect myself, what in the world makes me think that I'm going to be able to protect my pet?
So for the record, you are for this order?
No, that's not what I said. I said that I'm not sure that I personally would want a judge to do that for me. I would want the judge to be more focused on protecting myself versus my pet. because if I can't protect myself, I can't protect my pet. So it goes hand in hand. He better be protecting myself, my children, and all of my belongings. And in Colorado, a pet is still property.
So there you go. If you have any comments or concerns, again, send them to us at live@dogdoctorradio.com or just find us by email at denverdogworks.com. We welcome your comments, criticisms, and concerns as well. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media. We're here every Saturday morning at 9:30. Next week, we're going to be at the Furry Scurry. Hopefully, we're doing a live show. If not, we will have a very interesting and inclusive topic as always. As I say, never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.